The title of tonight's class is The Birth of the Christ Within. It's interesting that wherever the name Christ is circulated, it seems to cause a lot of controversy. Even as innocent a thing as Christmas. Now we turn on TV, we hear arguments over, well, they're taking the Christ out of Christmas, they want to call it a holiday tree, they want to say happy holidays instead of happy Christmas. So even the innocent, most innocent appearance of the name of Christ is creating a controversy. And it's interesting, when Jesus sent his disciples off, he says, "Ye shall be hated of all the world for my name's sake." And it's interesting, wherever the name of Christ manifests, there's controversy created. And the last element of controversy around the name of Christ seems to be the holidays. And the fact that just even wishing somebody Merry Christmas seems to upset a lot of people anymore. When I was a kid, it didn't upset anybody. You just said Merry Christmas, and you didn't even know about the Happy Holidays thing when I was a kid. It was just Merry Christmas, and that was it. It was just a Christmas tree, and that was it. Now, there's a controversy even over this very innocent-sounding holiday. Well, if you wish somebody Merry Christmas, we're going to leave out the Muslims and Buddhists and New Agers like us. And the Jews and so on. So it's interesting how just the name of Christ in circulation causes controversy and fiction, even though he's called the Prince of what?
Peace.
And the Prince of Peace came, and what happened?
War.
Was there peace around him wherever he walked? No, wherever he went, people wanted to do what to him? They wanted to kill him, didn't they? Okay. So, doesn't that seem strange? That here he is, the Prince of Peace. He manifests, and the first thing that happens is all the authorities all around him become upset and begin to have secret little conferences as to how to get rid of the guy. Okay? Finally, they crucify him. They think they're finally rid of him when they get him crucified. So he's dead and gone now. He's just one more troublemaker that we've managed to get rid of, and we won't have to worry about him anymore. Well, a little bit of, around 3 days later, they had to change their minds on that idea. And so it's interesting that as the name of Christ is circulated throughout the ages, we have the Crusades, and the Crusades was fought over what? Fought over the name of Christ, to secure the name of Christ in Jerusalem. They wanted to retake Jerusalem and secure the name of Christ there so Christ, the name of Christ, could dominate. Constantine saw, what did he see in vision that made him decide to conquer the world? He saw a cross. And does anyone remember what words he heard spoken? He saw a vision of a cross in the heavens. And he says, "By this you shall conquer." So all of a sudden, Constantine changed from being just a regular Roman emperor to being a Christian emperor. And he decided to conquer the world in the name of Christ. So it's interesting that the name of Christ, the one who is called the Prince of Peace, there's disturbance wherever his name seems to manifest. Now, admittedly, it's most probable that Constantine didn't receive a vision from Christ or from the higher spheres, but from the lower astral realm, where he decided, where he was given information of a lower vibration to go and conquer the earth. Matter of fact, he corrupted a lot of the teachings of Christ, and he was the one that initiated the great changes. He told the Christians, basically, "Look, we're going to stop persecuting you if you'll just do one thing. You'll change a bunch of your doctrines the way you want, the way we tell you to, so that, then if you change your doctrines and your teachings to the way the state wants them, then we'll quit persecuting you." So a lot of Christians thought, well, I guess that'd be worth it. So about 95% of them or so went along with the change. But then there was a small number that thought, we aren't going to change. We're going to keep them the way they were originally taught. Well, this small percentage was left over. They were persecuted more than ever. I mean, the state did everything it could to get rid of this small percentage that held out. And they were hunted down like dogs. And they were persecuted. And because they didn't go along with the changes of the Roman Emperor. But he was called the Prince of Peace. And when he, oftentimes when he met with his disciples, one of the first things he said to them was what? Do you remember what his introductory statement was when he met with his disciples? Right. Peace be unto you. What do you suppose it felt like to be in his presence and have him say that to you? Peace be unto you. Now imagine that I am the Christ. Imagine that I am he. Okay, just visualize that. And I say to you, peace be unto you. Do you think it'd feel maybe a little bit different than if Wayne said it to you? I tell you how Wayne would say it to you. You want a piece of me? That's how Wayne would say it. But that was often an introductory statement. And I believe that when he said that to his disciples, they did feel something. They felt a presence about him. And they felt an inner peace around him because he had such a great peace within himself. It's interesting that when the storm came up, they were on this ship and a giant storm came up. And the apostles, his disciples, were all doing everything they could to save the boat from sinking. It was tossing all over the place. And as they were trying to save the boat from sinking, they were thinking, well, man, where's Jesus at? I haven't seen him around. Well, they went down below the deck, and he was down there sleeping. They thought, good gravy, how can he sleep? We're just about ready to sink. The boat is tossing and turning like crazy, and he's there sleeping. And so they woke him up, and they said, Master, he says, awake and save us. We're going to sink. We're in this great storm. You can't be sleeping here, of all things. So he got up, goes up on the deck, and he says, oh, ye of little faith. He says, peace be still. And all of a sudden, the storm went away, and the boat just sat there on a very still lake. And so at that time, when he said the word peace, it really had an effect, not only on the heart of his followers, but on the sea, on the ship, on the people that were there. And one of the people on the ship says, who is this man that even the elements obey him? But why did the elements obey him? Why was it when he said peace, something happened? Curtis?
I know you know the answer to this, so that's why I
asked. Well, it was connected with the elements and the divas and all the powers that were. He was the Christ, and so I don't know what you're looking for, but he had...
And what did he have in him?
He had the power of Christ.
And what else?
The power of God.
I thought you knew the answer, damn it.
He had inner peace. Well, his father was the King of Peace. He was a peaceful guy. Give peace a chance.
Right, he was a peaceful guy. He finally got it. Right. When he said peace, it had an effect because within his spirit and soul and the inner core of his being was a tremendous peace. And the words that you speak will have no power unless that word is within you. And the word peace was within him. And this was his greeting to his fellow men. Peace be unto you. Always said that when he greeted his apostles. And it had an effect because within him was a great sense of peace. The peace that passes all understanding. Have you ever had a peace that seemed to pass all understanding? That was so great that you couldn't really put it into words?